Friday, February 28th, 1986. The preacher is Professor William Schmelder. His sermon text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 38. And his sermon theme, Lord, don't you care?
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Mark chapter 4, verse 38. Teacher, do you not care if we perish? It's the last day of the quarter, in case that fact escaped you. And for many of us, frankly, it's about time. Winter quarter always has been the doldrums. It's the pits, you might say. After all, the kind of excitement and freshness with which we began the year in fall has long since faded, and the joys of call day and commencement are yet in the future. Granted, we haven't had much to complain about as far as the weather is concerned this year. That is, unless you happen to be someone who got rear-ended because someone else didn't know how to negotiate 4 inches of snow. But that's not really what makes this winter quarter the doldrums. It isn't weather or classes or tests or papers or grades or pre-endorsement interviews that have made this quarter a tough one for us, that makes us rather glad these 3 months are coming to an end. Rather, it is the realization that in these 3 months we have been forced to face events and situations that have tested the mettle of our faith and our comprehension of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that makes these words appointed for February 28 so poignant. Little did I realize as I prepared this service between Christmas and New Year's and sent it off to the chaplain how remarkably timely would be the hymns and the readings and the question, Lord, don't you care? That question got galvanized for us in the death of our friend and brother in Christ, Tom Tenzing. We had to ask, how could this happen? Here is someone who shared our hope for the ministry, someone who studied with us and worshiped with us and played with us and prayed with us. Lord, don't you care? And hardly had we gotten accustomed to even thinking along those lines when a challenger exploded before our very eyes and a whole nation went into kind of a shock and asked, Lord, don't you care? And as the investigation has unfolded and more inanities have come forth as data, we have asked all the more, Lord, don't you care? Rivers were swollen and dikes and levees broke and brown churning water flooded into homes and thousands had to flee and lose everything they had accumulated and some lost their loved ones too. Lord, don't you care? We witnessed unrest in almost every part of the world and that peace for which we pray so that the gospel might have free course and be preached seems so elusive. Lord, don't you care? People took medicine to get well and died of cyanide poisoning, and glasses found in baby food and straight pins in yogurt. Lord, don't you care? The president of our synod gets pilloried in the press, and we can just hear the chortles on the outside saying, oh, see how they love one another. See how they bite and devour one another. Lord, don't you care? the hopes and dreams of parents-to-be suddenly evaporates in the news of a miscarriage. Lord, don't you care? We gather in this place day in and day out, and we have intercession upon intercession. Someone is having surgery. Someone may not recover. Someone has died. Add to that all your personal complaints and aches and anxieties and hurts, and the whole thing grows almost into a deafening crescendo. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care about your people? And then we can see how easily we empathize and sympathize and even identify with what's going on in our text. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. The other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat upon the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to perish?" Lord, don't you care? There they are, waves blowing, wind, fear, consternation, men's hearts failing them, and where is Jesus in this time of need? Asleep on a cushion in the stern. Teacher, don't you care? And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Okay, Jesus, that's it. Do for us now what you did for them. Stand up in the allegorical boat of our life and rebuke the wind and the waves and restore calm to our troubles. Deal with our hurts and our wants. Deal with our pain and our anxiety. Calm the bloodshed and war in the world. Restore peace so that your gospel can be preached. Make people sane in their dealings to one another. Lord, do it. If you really care, Lord, do it. Oh, Lord, if you had been here then, Lord, don't you care? But do you see what we've been doing? We've wasted all this time asking the wrong question. You see, we let our old Adam give us a false hermeneutic for this text. We think the question is that one of the disciples, "Lord, don't you care?" Well, that isn't the question at all. The question here is the question of Jesus. Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Upo ekete pistin. Not yet have you faith? Are you still without it? For you see, what goes on in this text is as though God lets us peek behind the curtain of his activities of grace. And we can peek around and see the Son of Man calming the sea and the waves. And we can say, "What manner of man is this that even wind and sea obey him?" But that's only looking around the corner. Wait till the curtain is split from top to bottom and you see what God is doing. For what God did is not just send his Son to calm wind and wave. He didn't send his Son to this earth so that we might have heaven on earth. He sent his Son to earth so that he might deal with hell, that he might break the back of death, that he might destroy the power of sin, that he might undo the works of the evil one, that by his death he might destroy death, and that by his rising to life again he might restore to us everlasting life, that this Jesus might bear our sins in his body to the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And die to sin we indeed have in the waters of holy baptism. We died with him, we were buried with him, and raised with him, and our feet were set upon the new path of life. And this Lord Jesus stands before us in all of our chaos and questioning, and he says, "Why are you afraid? Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Fear not. I have overcome the world." Jesus cares. That is the emphatic declaration that is rooted and anchored in his death and resurrection. Jesus Christ cares, and because of him there is forgiveness, and there is life, and there is hope. And so, no one can guarantee you that next quarter will not be as bad as this one drawing to a close. The troubles, the anxieties, the questioning, the whys and wherefores are not going to disappear because you change calendar pages and classes and instructors. But there is also something that's not going to change, and that is the constant care and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. And as that awful cacophony keeps building and seems to drown out even our ability to think, it is all overcome in the grand and heavenly pianissimo. Peace. Be still. Jesus cares. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.